Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
Hello. Hello. Hey. Hey, guys. So, I'm digging this LED wall. It's pretty amazing. My name is Pastor Jim, and I am from our Thousand Oaks campus, and I have a European cold. And how is it European? Because we just got back from Africa. Yeah. And we did a little pit stop in Zurich, Switzerland, and I picked up a little cold on the trip home. But it was worth it. It was worth it. How many believe that the God of breakthroughs is on your side? Do you really? Isn't that song amazing? I want to say a special hello to everybody watching online. You are part of our family. No matter where you're watching from, drop us a comment and let us know where you're watching from tonight. I love coming here. The schedule is the last Wednesday of the month is my time to come back home. For those of you that may be new, I have been a pastor with you guys for 30 years. I've been a pastor with VBF, and so this is always home. I was reminiscing about a month ago of the 90s youth group era. So the 90s is when I was the youth pastor of VBF, and so we had some good times. And I put a little reel on Instagram. I found some old video. But, you know, we've been around for a minute. And so now we're in Thousand Oaks, and we're pastoring down there. And it's always good to come back. But I'm just so excited to share tonight this message that God put on my heart on the heels of what he did for us and our team in Africa. And I'm simply entitling tonight's talk, Wired to Make a Difference. Wired to Make a Difference. And I want you to know that some of you have disqualified yourself from God ever being able to use you. And I hope that tonight what you will see is the exact opposite of that thought bubble that you've been having. Like, there's no way that God could use somebody like me. Like, I'm convinced that the longer that I follow Jesus, the more messed up you are, the more likely God is going to use you. So if you're really messed up, get ready, because you're going to be a mass, you know, a weapon for the kingdom of heaven, because God loves using messed up people. And how many are thankful for that tonight? He loves using messed up people. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to get into some scriptures, but man, I have so many God stories that are just fresh from what God did with our team in Zambia while we were there a couple weeks ago. And man, it's just so encouraging to know that some of you that are just praying for a breakthrough in your life, some of you are believing for a miracle for your life, that we saw breakthrough and we saw miracles in Africa. And the same God that did the breakthroughs and the miracles in Africa is the same God here in Bakersfield. All right? I want you to know that. The same God that did the miracles in Africa is the same God that wants to do miracles here in this auditorium at VBF. All right? So I'm just going to speak that faith out to you. And if you don't have faith to believe that, borrow some of mine tonight because my faith tank is like overfilled. All right? So I'm going to splash out on you tonight. So let me pray. Father, I thank you so much just for this amazing group of people that you brought together. And I know, Lord, that we're desperate for you. We're desperate, Lord, for you to do big things with our lives, big things through our lives, Lord. And God, in that desperation, Lord, we empty ourselves out so that we can make more room for you. Meet us in our mess. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us ears to hear the hearts to receive everything that you want to deposit into us. And we thank you in advance for how you're going to do that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, so if you're in Scripture, I want to take you to a Scripture in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10. And we're going to just open it up, and we're going to let it sit there for a second while I just kind of walk you through what happened over the last couple of weeks. So we've been planning this trip actually prior to 2020. So our team in Thousand Oaks partnered with the Vegas campus, and we went together. But in 2020, our trip got delayed. Most of you know why, all right? So it was COVID, so we couldn't go. So fast forward, we made this trip for 2023. We brought 28 people. We've never have taken that many people on a trip to Africa like this. So we met the Vegas team in South Africa. We flew into Zambia, and we had all kinds of things planned out while we were there. Friday, we had an assembly at the school that we've been supporting and sponsoring for over a decade now, that we feed, educate, and disciple about 500 children that are vulnerable, that are single orphan, double orphan, meaning biological mom or dad or both have died of some cause. Most of the adults in Zambia have died in the last 20 years, 30 years from HIV. And this is kind of like an unknown fact to a lot of us here in the States, that Zambia, along with a lot of the African countries, are still very tribal in nature. And so one of the things with tribes, because they don't have access to medical care like we do, they still have these guys in the tribes called witch doctors. And the witch doctors will go around the tribe and they will do spells. They will do all kinds of things trying to relieve people of pain, trying to cure them of their diseases. But one of the biggest horrific atrocities that happened in Zambia is in the 90s, witch doctors were falsely told that a cure for HIV is for, if you're a man, is to find yourself a virgin girl and sleep with her, and you will be cured of your HIV. So you can imagine what that did to the whole country. It devastated them. Over half of the population to this day of Zambia is under the age of 18. Half of the population of the entire country. Can you imagine America being run by 18-year-old and younger? All right, that's pretty scary to think about. But that's the Zambian context, and a lot of it is because of the HIV epidemic that just devastated them. Fast forward, so we have a school. We've been supporting them, and they did this amazing assembly. We gave them all backpacks filled with school supplies. We got to pray with the students, and it was just amazing. But on Friday night, we had a crusade. And so we planned a three-day crusade while we were there. It's the first time we've ever done something like this. And they took this dirt soccer field where they've been playing soccer for all kinds of time. But they've never done a crusade in this particular area of Lusaka, Zambia. And we did a crusade. And the first night, almost 1,000 people showed up. And it was amazing. We had so many people make first-time decisions to follow Jesus. But then our team came up to pray for people that were sick. And this is when God started moving in a way that, honestly, in my 30 years of being a minister, I've never seen God move like this. It was just next level. And so our prayer team got up there, and I just called out from the stage. I go, hey, I just want you guys to know we're here to pray for you, believing that God has a miracle for you. And we know that some of you are so desperate for a miracle, and we're here to believe with you that the same God that I just spoke about, that came to this earth to deliver you of your sin, wants to deliver you of your sickness. And so we had all kinds of people coming up. Now, I had a word when we were on our way to the airport, and it just was so strong in my spirit. I shared it with one of our team members, and I said, man, I don't know. You know, I've never done a crusade, but I kind of feel like I have this prompting that we're going to pray for somebody that was blind, and they're going to get their sight back. And his eyes got really big. And he goes, I had the same thought. I had the same revelation. I think somebody's going to get their side back. And we were both getting super excited, you know. It's like, you know, the bus ride before the big game, right? We're all pumped up. And we go over there. So the first night, I just like boldly, I'm like, hey, and if somebody here, if you're blind tonight, I want you to come up because I want to believe with you that God wants to give you your sight back. Well, the first night happened, we had a lot of people being delivered of all kinds of stuff. A lot of people demonized because of the witch doctors, and that is, you know, a whole different conversation. But I came back and I was like, man, you know, we didn't have anybody healed of blindness. So, well, we got two more nights of crusades. So Saturday, we had a whole leadership day where we were training leaders, gave them all study Bibles, gave them discipleship books, and just spent the day training these pastors and leaders. And it was just a beautiful time. Then we went back for the second night of the crusade. And, man, the Spirit of God fell on that soccer field, man. And as I was preaching, and you know, sometimes like when I'm up here, like I'm doing it with you right now, sometimes I'll have this moment where I can just feel the Spirit of God just like speaking through my words, and then somebody is just catching it and somebody is receiving it. And the whole time I was on the platform on Saturday night when I was speaking this, I could just feel heaven just moving through me. And so I just said, you know, hey, if you are here and you want to begin following Jesus in your life and receive the Holy Spirit, come up. We had probably 100 that night came forward, received Christ. And some of them were in the bars, like behind the soccer field. And they came all the way from the bar to get to the stage to get saved. And I was just like, whoa, what is happening right now? So I was feeling that. But then they went and they got followed up on. And I said, okay, now some of you need prayer for any, you know, needs in your health or your lives or, you know, your issues going on. I want you to come forward. And then I said it again. And if somebody here, you're having a sight issue. Maybe you can't see. Maybe you're blind. Maybe something's happening with your eyes. I want you to come up here because I believe God has a miracle waiting for you. And so our prayer team got busy and the band's playing and I'm watching everybody get prayed for. People are like falling down. I'm like, wow, what is going on? And then this lady, she falls down. And our prayer team, they're yelling at me. They're going, Pastor Jim. And I'm like, yeah, I'm right here. And they're like, she just got her sight back. She was fully blind. She was blind. And now she can see. And they're like doing the eye test, you know, on the right eye, the left eye. And then she comes walking up to the stage and she testifies to the whole entire crowd. There had to be 1,000 people there. And she's like, God gave me my sight back. And then I had two other guys that came up to the stage and they testified that they had vision problems and that they could see perfectly clear after our team prayed over them, that God did a miracle for those guys that night. And to be honest, like, our prayer team was like, they wanted to just celebrate with the you know, the person, but then there were, you know, a line of other people needing to be prayed for. And one of my guys was like, Jim, there was a guy, he had some back issue. He couldn't, like, bend over, and we prayed over him, and his back loosened up, and he started doing cartwheels, like literally started doing cartwheels. And he's like, what is happening? And my team, along with me too, you know, I've seen miracles like this before, but it was so just next level on Saturday. And then Sunday, somebody that was completely deaf got their hearing fully restored. They could hear everything perfectly clear on Sunday night. And we had another 50 people get saved on Sunday night. So a total of over 200 people that weekend made decisions to follow Christ. We had 3 blind people get their sight back, 1 deaf person get their hearing back. And more people than I can count, God met their physical needs some way, somehow, in that crusade. And then we had church Sunday morning on top of that. And my voice was gone. I had like preached like 6 different times, 6 different messages. But you know what? It felt so good. Good. When my team was like, you can barely talk, I go, I know, but it's so awesome. I'll lose my voice all day long if this kind of stuff happens when I speak. I mean, this is just incredible. And as we were doing all of this stuff for Africa, you know, I want to just one more God story. Can I share one more with you? And this is just like, I just... Some of you tonight, you came in here, maybe you came in here skeptical. Maybe you're like, I read the Bible. I don't know if I even believe in God. I want to just help you believe in God. I want you to know that the scriptures that we read and we study and we, you know, teach on here at VBF, it's real. It's real. This stuff that was written in these ancient texts that's thousands of years old is real because I've walked in it. I haven't just read it. I've lived it. I've experienced God. And so that's why I love telling God stories. That's why Pastor Ron loves to tell God stories. We don't want to be braggadocious, as he says. You know, we want to make God known to you. And he wants to be made known to you. He loves you. And he wants you to know him. And so this last God story, and then I'll get to the text, but it was just the most random thing. We brought all these Bibles to the leaders. So, I mean, we had suitcases. They were packed full. We gave them all out. Well, at the leadership conference, we had this extra Bible. And I remember sitting there, and we were finishing up, and I looked over at Brandon, who was on our team. I said, hey, Brandon, is this an extra Bible? He goes, yeah. I said, how do we even have an extra Bible? He goes, I don't know. I said, I think I know who that Bible's for. Like, God wants us to give this Bible to this girl that works at the lodge that we were staying at. And so I said, hey, can you make sure that this Bible gets home with us? And he goes, absolutely. So we're driving back to the place that we're staying, and I tell my driver, I said, hey, I just want to, you know, have you help me get this Bible to this girl that works at the lodge. And he looked at me and he goes, oh, she told you that she wanted a Bible too. And I was like, what? Wait, I'm confused. He said, when she saw you bringing all the Bibles, she asked if she could have one. And I told her, no, they're all spoken for because I knew you guys were doing the leadership conference. I go, whoa. I go, I didn't know she wanted a Bible, but I know someone who did. And his name's God. He knew she wanted a Bible. Think about this. God loves her so much, he put a Bible on reserve and then spoke it to me saying, this is for Felistus. That was her name. And so I was like, whoa. And so I was so excited to be able to give this Bible to her and just declare over her. I said, do you know how much God loves you? I'm like, first of all, there shouldn't even be an extra Bible. I have no idea how we ended up with an extra Bible other than that I know that Jesus can multiply fishes and loaves, so certainly he can multiply Bibles. So I'm thinking somehow, some way, miraculously, God created a Bible just for you. But then he put it on my heart, unbeknownst to me, you had asked for a Bible. I said, that's how much God loves you. He heard that you want a Bible, and he wanted to make sure you got one. And so I presented her to the Bible. We got to pray over her. You know, her son came to the crusade on the second night. He gave his life to Jesus. And then her sister, she came to the crusade Sunday night, and she gave her life to Christ. And so God is doing a work in Felistus, and it just was so amazing to just be a part of that, this adventure, this getting out of our comfort zone of just our normal everyday existence, you know, where we just go to work, we come home, we watch some TV, you know, we do some errands, then we go to bed or whatever. You know, we have our comfort zones, and sometimes we don't like to be uncomfortable, but it's when we move out of our comfort zones where God begins doing the most miraculous work through our lives. Do you know that? In order for miracles to take place, you have to step out of that comfort zone bubble that you have. And I have. We all have it. And I don't know what your comfort zone bubble looks like. If it's just you, your family, if it's just like, you know, I don't talk to strangers, you know, I don't go to places I'm unfamiliar. I don't know what your comfort zone bubble is. But I want to tell you that God is waiting to use you in radical ways when you decide that you can leave your comfort zone bubble and you can step out in faith, believing that God is going to catch you when you move out of that, and that's where the miracles are going to take place through your life, all right? I'm speaking to somebody's heart tonight. But the reason I started with this is because I know not all of us can go to Africa. And a question I get often is like, why do miracles like this happen in Africa, but we don't hear like people getting their sight back in America like that? Like, why do we hear stories over there but not here? And my, I guess, answer to that is twofold. Number one, I think a lot of times we don't get desperate enough like they do. We have doctors, right? We have a Rite Aid and a CVS on every corner in our cities. So we can lean into these. And I'm not saying doctors are bad or you know, getting, you know, medicine is bad. Those things are good. But a lot of times we just put all of our faith in those things and we don't really lean into God. And medicine helps cure us and doctors help cure us. So I think that's one. And the second thing is I just believe that it's partly in respect to where we're at with our own faith in God. Like, these people actually believe that God does miracles. And so they come with expectation. And I do believe in the expectation there is an activation. I really do. Not that it's all up to you, and if you don't get your miracle, it's because you don't have enough faith. That's not theological. That's not theologically accurate, I should say. But there is something, and Jesus even spoke into this. He said, let it be to you according to your faith. So there is something about an expectation that releases some kind of an activation for miracles to begin being processed for your life. So that's just a reason that I've come to understand of why maybe we see more miracles over there than we see miracles here, even though miracles are still happening here. You know, my own brother, last God story, I promise, and I'll get into the scriptures. This is at a prayer service we did years ago. He injured his knee being a referee for some football games here in Bakersfield. And he came into this little service and he could barely walk. He actually almost fell as he walked in the door. And the speaker was like, hey, you know what, man, I don't need to, you know, if you've got some issues, right, I don't need to be the guy that prays over you. If you're around somebody that's got an issue, just lay hands on them and you pray for them. And you're going to see God do something through you. So I'm literally sitting next to my brother. My brother of the same mother, you know, this is my bro. And I'm like, hey, I got to pray for your knee. And I put my hand on his knee. And I just prayed a real simple prayer. It wasn't, in Jesus' name, Lord, I call this knee to be healed. It was just like, Lord, I know you love my brother, and I know that, God, his knee's messed up, and we need a miracle, God, and I'm praying for a miracle to happen. And I'm not even exaggerating. There was a snap, crack, and pop that was happening on his knee. It was moving. And he starts crying. I start crying. He spontaneously stands up, and he starts jumping on it like this. And I'm like, whoa, is that a good idea? He goes, Jim, it is completely healed. In that moment, it was completely healed. Now, I don't have a theological understanding of why sometimes we can pray like that and it's just instantly healed, and other times we pray and believe, you know, for months and years and maybe that breakthrough doesn't come. I don't understand any of that. Maybe it's beyond us understanding. Some of it's maybe practical, some of it's just spiritual in nature. But I don't want to discount those moments where God does something miraculous and lose sight of the fact that God does miracles for our lives. And I want you to know he would love to use you to bring someone else a miracle for their life. So let's go to Ephesians, because Ephesians is a really good scripture here. This is Ephesians 2, verse 10. From the Amplified version, it says, for we are God's own handiwork, that is his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. That means born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned beforehand for us, that is taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should, what, church? That we should walk in them. That there's something active. When you're walking in them. That means you're doing something with it. The good works, you're walking in good works, living, it says, the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So the idea here is real simple. When Christ comes into your life, it's a game changer. Not only is it a game changer for you, meaning that your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven, which, hallelujah for that, right? How many need to be forgiven in your life, okay? How many need a little extra scoop of forgiveness for some stuff you've done? All right, let's not get into details, but, you know, you look at your neighbor right now and say, I need that extra scoop, all right? But you know, the idea is when Jesus comes inside of you and he takes hold of you, then there is a release of God in you. And I want you to know that God works good works through your life. It's God who lives in you now that is calling you to good works, to make a difference. That's why I say you're wired by God to make a difference with your life. You're wired by him to make a difference with your life. Now, I want to go back to our Africa trip, because when we were on one of our little safaris that we did, we took a Jeep out into the bush, into the wilderness. I saw this huge tree, and I think I have a picture of it. I don't know if you guys have that. Can you guys see this? I just love this. Okay, it's a pretty tree. It is a pretty tree. Now, I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, but I believe it is pronounced a baobab tree. And they are all over the Zambian desert here, the brush area. And what makes these trees so fun is they actually refer to them as the upside down tree. And one of the reasons they call them the upside down tree is because the top area here looks like the root system under the ground. The way the foliage is, the way the branches go, it's basically a mirrored copy of what's under the surface. So as the ground is bringing in the nutrients, the leaves and the branches on top are bringing in the all the oxygen and the photosynthesis of the sunlight, working in tandem to make this tree. Now, what I find fascinating about this tree is not only are there trees within the African wilderness that are thousands and thousands of years old, some African populations call this and refer to this tree not as the upside down tree, but as the tree of life. Have you heard that term before? It's in the Bible. Why do they refer to it as the tree of life? Interesting. Because it goes to feed and take care of so many species that are there on the African plains in the African wilderness. From insects all the way up to elephants, monkeys, humans. There's fruit on this that humans use for medicinal purposes, for food, for clothing. The bark, that the elephants can take the bark and they can actually drain water from the bark, because a lot of these trees are hollow and they fill up with water. So it's producing life to sustain the life that is in the wilderness. Now, the reason I bring this up, this is so good for us to learn. You know, we talk about, you know, miracles and faith walks. Man, that's radical Christianity. Like, he's radical. Like, that lady, she's radical in her faith in Jesus. Let me just think about this word for a second. Has anybody ever described your relationship with God as radical? Now, that's a sermon in itself. But you might say, like, you know, Pastor Jim going to Africa, Pastor Jim going over here, doing this other stuff, that's radical. But I love the idea of the word radical. It actually comes from a Latin word which means roots. And what I love about this, and this is what I want to just kind of lean into tonight, I think this is worth looking at, that as we think about a radical lifestyle, people who are rooted in their faith live radical lives for the kingdom of God. So if you can put, that tree back up, you get this, and this becomes a tree of life and a tree of substance, where you're actually making a difference with everything around you, surrounding you. This tree is producing all kinds of life for all the people and all the animals that are around it. But this tree would not be this tree without the root system under the ground, which nobody can see. Are you tracking with me, church? When we talk about the God stories, we're talking about the top. But you can't have the God stories. You can't have the miracles. You can't have the things that God wants to do through you unless you have a root system that's healthy and that is grounded in Christ. So what becomes so important is to live the radical life. For people to start describing your faith as being radical, it's not going to happen by accident. It's only going to happen on purpose. And you begin to develop a radical faith for your relationship with God when your root system gets really healthy. What's your root system? Our root system is the things that we are doing that nobody sees. And so if you want healthy roots, you got to do some healthy stuff when nobody's looking. See, a lot of times when nobody's looking, that's our invitation to bad things, right? Like, hey, you know, nobody sees what I'm doing, so I'm just going to do it. But what God is calling us into is a relationship with Him when everybody's gone and it's just me and Him. That's when I'm leaning in the hardest and the most, and I'm just sitting with Him, and I'm absorbing His presence. I'm absorbing everything that He has. I'm looking at the Word. I'm taking time to worship Him. And the more that I'm doing this, I'm making a healthy root system for my tree. Who was it? Barbara Walters that used to ask her guests, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? I'm like, I'm a baobab tree. I want to give life to everybody that comes around me. I want to make a difference with everybody that's around me. But the only way I make a difference, church, is that I am grounded and rooted in Jesus. The more I'm grounded and rooted in Jesus, the more radical my life is. And guess what? The more God uses me to make a difference in the lives of other people. Are you tracking with me? Like, how many want to be a baobab tree, if that's how you say it? Like, plant me, man. Let's go. Let me give you one more scripture. Matthew 28. Saw something fresh on this one. So, Jesus is about ready to ascend into heaven. He's got His followers that are around Him. They've been following Him for 40 days in His resurrected state. So He's getting ready to go to heaven. He's going to ascend to heaven. And as He's there giving the final words to His followers, they become very important words. If you have this open in your Bible, it might even say a little headline, subtitle in front of it called The Great Commission. So these last words of Jesus become, I believe, some of the most important words that He tells His followers, which includes you and which includes me. This is what He says. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. How much authority? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That was a radical statement. Because the authority for the Jewish people up to this point was the law. The law of Moses, the law of the prophets, like everything that the law and the prophets said, that was the final authority. Jesus is saying something greater than Moses and the law and the prophets is here, and I'm Him. So He's saying, the buck stops with me now, all right? And He says, therefore, because of this, because you have all the authority, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, I just think about this, okay. All authority, Jesus is saying, this isn't something you earn. This is something you inherit. Hello, somebody. You don't earn this authority. You inherit it because you belong to Him. If He's in you, you have the authority. Why? Because He has the authority, and if He lives in you, by default, you've got the authority. So it's your inheritance. It's not earned. It's given because you have Jesus. So accept the inheritance, because right there, that's truth for somebody. That's enough truth right now to set you free of drug abuse in your life. The drugs want to preach to you that they have more authority than Jesus in your life. And so they woo you into giving yourself over to them when the whole time it's a head fake. They don't have the authority over you. Jesus now has the authority over your life. When you surrender to Him, the drugs also have to surrender to Him. I'm speaking to somebody tonight. Quit letting the enemy convince you that lies are truth. When somebody thinks that they have control over you, when you surrender your life to Jesus, all authority has been given to you to be over drug abuse, to be over porn addiction, to be over pride, to be over anger and rage issues. Those things will be weaned out of your life. Why? Because you have a new authority that you answer to, and His name is Jesus. And He trumps all that stuff. Don't let the enemy lie to you like that. So that's the first part. But He says, because you have this authority, therefore go. And you know, Bible scholars that study the original language in the Greek language, they kind of debate over this word go. And many of the scholars that study this language have come to the conclusion that this word go isn't just this idea of a directive like go. Like leave and go somewhere else. They believe it's more of a word phrase that should be better interpreted as you go or as you are going. So this changes stuff. Because now, in order to make a difference, we don't have to get on an airplane and travel 30 hours to a continent and a country to see miracles of God and to see God use us to make a difference for other people. Because the commandment is to, therefore, as you go, as you are going, make disciples. So guess what, difference maker? Tomorrow, most of you are going to go to work. So let's relook at this. Therefore, as you go to work tomorrow, make disciples at Halliburton. Make disciples at KMC. Make disciples at the school of your going to, I don't know, BC or Cal State or whatever. But this changes the dynamic of how you should look at how you're making a difference. Because it's not about going somewhere. It's about letting your root system create a radical lifestyle to where as you go on the 99 freeway to Valley Plaza, to the marketplace, to Target or to Walmart, to the fireworks stand. Praise God for fireworks stands in Bakersfield. We don't have them in Thousand Oaks. You guys are so lucky. But as you go to these places, you get to go and have mission everywhere you go. I don't know if you guys still have these signs that are out there. We used to have them back in the day, but it says you're now entering the mission field. Have you seen these signs? You're leaving. This is our headquarters. And God does some radical stuff here, but the real mission field is when you pull out of this parking lot and you go out these gates and you go to your neighborhood. Some of you, there's a radical healing miracle waiting for you on your street. You don't have to go to a different continent. When God has a an assignment for you right on your street. You know, the neighborhood that we, Tara and I, live in now is so beautiful. We have so much ministry happening. It just literally on our street, the most beautiful people. And I feel these promptings. Go talk to him. Go minister to her. Mother's Day, I went and got some flowers for a couple of the moms on our street that I knew their kids were gone. They were living in different states. So I brought them both flowers. Just out of Holy Spirit prompting. And that's how we start walking in miracles, is we start listening to those promptings. And we start stepping out. And again, this isn't like difficult, but it's going to require living life on purpose to start living a life that makes a difference in the lives of others, because you've been wired to make a difference. Look at your neighbor and say, you've been wired to make a difference. That was weak. Come on. I'm losing my voice for you guys. You can do better than that. Look at your neighbor and say, you've been wired to make a difference. That's better. Come on, VBF. That was good. Let me wrap this up. You know, one of the biggest blessings of letting God use you to make a difference in the lives of somebody else is you struggle a lot less with your own stuff. When you start living your life to make a difference in the lives of others, your own stuff doesn't bother you as much. I'm not saying it disappears. I'm not saying the temptations totally go away. But when your faith increases, your sin decreases. That's what happens. When you start living by faith, your sin starts taking a nosedive. So some of you, stop trying to beat your sin. Stop trying to overcome your sin. I know it sounds so weird. Did the pastor just really say, stop trying to overcome your sin? Stop that. That just sounds counterintuitive. Like, I'm a pastor. You're like, overcome your sin. Stop trying to overcome your sin by stopping the sin. And overcome your sin by living your life to make a difference in the lives of others. And something will snap in you in a good way, because the good works, which is being done by God working in you, will fill you so full of experience with God, you won't want the sin. It won't be as attractive. The reason sin looks so attractive is because we're not living in the glory of these stories of how God has used our life to make a difference in the lives of other people. I want to end with one God story, because this one happened right in my own backyard. I got some money from somebody in the church, and they said, Pastor Jim, you're kind of bold. Can you just use this $1,000 and go bless somebody else and just do it for the kingdom? And I said, absolutely. This is great. I wish I could do this all day long. You can keep giving me $1,000. I'll keep giving away. That'd be fun. And some of you are like, tell me the next place you go to with your $1,000, and I'll be there to receive it in Jesus' name. So I felt led and prompted to go to the hospital. I went to the hospital, and I'm in this little roundabout where patients are being, you know, waiting on their rides to be picked up. And I saw a vision of this lady before I got there, and I get there, and the lady that I saw in my vision, just in my imagination, was sitting right there, like almost to the T, what I saw in my imagination. I go, that's the lady I'm supposed to give the $1,000 to. So I go there and I act like I'm waiting for a car too. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, is this her? Somebody else came out. I'm like, oh, I'm confused. Is that, no, is this her? And I did that for about 5 minutes, and finally I go, that's her. I go, hey, excuse me. I go, I have to say, I'm a pastor of a church here in the area, and I couldn't even finish my sentence. She said, no, thank you. I'm not interested. I'm an atheist. Don't waste your breath on me. I don't want to hear anything about it. I was like, whoa. Snarky. I like it. It's a challenge. So I said, okay, well, maybe you can help me. Like, I came here because I saw a vision of a lady sitting, waiting for a ride, and she looked a lot like you, my head. And what I feel is like you have a financial need in your life. Do you have a financial need in your life? And she said, yeah, doesn't everybody? I said, well, God sent me here today to give you $1,000. No strings attached, Jesus-style love, just to tell you he loves you, he cares about you, and he knows what you're going through. She goes, wait a minute, I don't believe you. She calls her brother on the phone. She's like, this guy's trying to give me $1,000. And he's like, what are you doing? And so I'm like, hey, I've been sent here. I feel like I'm supposed to give your sister $1,000. And he goes, no strings attached. I go, no strings attached. And I said, do you have a financial need? She starts crying. She says, I got an accident. I totaled my car. I don't have the money to pay for my medication. I don't have the money to pay for my doctor visit. I have no money to even get a ride right now. And I said, well, God sent me here today to let you know he loves you and he's here for you. And this is just a little love tap from heaven for you that he exists and he's real. And I said, all I ask you to do is go home and pray and ask God, if you're real, make yourself known to me. I said, that's all I ask. She goes, well, I think he's already done that by sending you right here today. And I go, well, you're on your way to becoming a believer. I said, well, you're always invited to come to church. She goes, you might see me there. Why did I tell you that story? Because the more I'm doing that, the less I'm thinking about temptation, the less I'm thinking about all the worldly, cultural stuff that is plaguing us everywhere we turn. When we're on assignment for the kingdom of heaven, it's a lot harder for the enemy of your soul to take you out by sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight, church? Live on assignment for God, and you're gonna see a radical lifestyle, and you're gonna see God use you to make a difference in the lives of other people. Let me pray. Father, I thank you so much, God, giving me a voice tonight. Thank you, Lord, that your word has been declared. And God, my prayer, God, is for everybody here to level up and to be the radical tree bearing fruit to make a difference in the lives of other people, God. Help us, Lord, if our root system is rotten, God, do an overhaul tonight. God, we want to repent of stuff that we aren't doing right that's making us not have the root system that we need to be the radical trees of life that you called us to be. Lord, your word says if we abide in you, that we will bear much fruit. God, help us to live fruitful, meaningful lives to make a difference. And God, if there's people here tonight that are not followers of you, they haven't committed their life to you, they haven't been filled with your Holy Spirit, I pray tonight you convict them. You would show up for them. Lord, let them know right now that you love them. Let them know right now you care about them. Let them know right now, Lord, that you died for their sins so they could be forgiven tonight. That, Lord, they can have a new beginning of their life tonight. And if you're here tonight, you have never said yes to following Jesus, to give your life to him. I want to pray for you in this moment because this is what I did. And God radically transformed me on the inside and on the outside. And he wants to radically transform you right now on the inside, just the way you are. You don't have to do anything. He's here. The invitation is being given to you. You just have to say yes to following him. That's all you do. And if you're here tonight, you want to say yes to following Jesus, to give your life to him, then pop your hand up, would you? Just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me, man. I need to give my life to Christ tonight. Just raise it. Kind of give me a wave. Just say that's me. I know this is what I need to do in my life. Just raise it up. Some of you need to get your hand up because you're like, I've been wandering. I've been swerving, but I need to get back on track. I need to rededicate my life to Christ. I need a root system overhaul tonight. You get your hand up too. Say, that's me. I need to rededicate my life to Christ and let him live through me the way he wants to live through me. Lord, tonight, every hand that went up, God, I pray that, Lord, you would send your Holy Spirit into their body and radically transform them from the inside out. Thank you for dying for our sins, for resurrecting to put heaven inside of us. And we thank you, God, that our best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I love you guys. If you need prayer for whatever reason, we got a prayer team up here. I'm going to keep my distance from you because I don't want to get you a European cold, but I love you. And we'll see you here, there, or in the air. Knuckle bump somebody next to you. Say, thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us a king.